Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning at RCR, Reality Check Radio. Two regular features on a Tuesday. Tech Tuesday a bit later with Stephen Sykes. And our report from Melbourne, Australia, with Tim Wilms of the Unshackled.net in Melbourne. Hi, Tim. Welcome back.
Hi, Paul. Good to be back. And fantastic clean sweep that the Australian
Get it out of the way.
Team had against New Zealand. So a lot of us cricket fans, we put up with Captain Warwick, Pat Cummins. We just gritted our teeth because he's a winner and his captaincy has won another test series.
Okay, well, well done, I guess. I know is that where I live is near where one of the cricket grounds is, and the traffic was frozen for the whole day. It was annoying.
Oh, well, it's good that there was a lot of attendance to see Australia's glorious victory.
All right. Okay, enough of that. Let's we'll circle back to some sport in your report, I'm sure. Let's start off with, get the bad news out of the way, the crime. Last time we talked, there was all sorts of horrific crimes. Even more. Where do you want to start with the crime? Is this like a blip or is this like a consistently longer period of time of really bad crimes that have been happening?
Well, all I can put it down to is that the Australian population is expanding due to the resumption of mass migration after the lockdown border closure years. We just passed 27 million. So if you've got more people living in Australia, there is going to be more criminals.
That suggests, though, that maybe some of the more recent arrivals are involved in these stats. Is that kind of where that's going?
Well, that's also another factor as well. Importing people who are from countries who are already overrepresented in our local crime statistics based on country of origin.
So that's a cultural thing. It's a criminal thing, but it's also clash of culture.
Well, certainly you would look at that as one of the reasons. Though, obviously, the anti-domestic violence campaigners, they just focus on that it's men murdering women, despite the fact that we've had a number of men murdered by other men.
Yeah.
I have to say allegedly murdered. Obviously, there was the Sydney gay couple, Jesse Baird and Luke Davies, allegedly murdered by a gay cop, Beau Lamar Condon. And then there was the Taekwondo instructor who strangled to death a seven-year-old boy who was a student of his and murdered his parents.
Whoa, that's so heavy.
Like every alleged murder, we have to say, is a tragedy. But obviously, there's people who are pushing an agenda. Obviously, the feminists, they try to pump up that we're in a domestic violence crisis, though. Again, if we broke down the domestic violence statistics by race, I'm sure that would paint a slightly skewed picture. But I'll get on to recent developments.
We were aware. I've seen the headline of a missing woman in Ballarat. I think you might have touched on that last time we talked. I can't quite remember, but have there been developments with that?
Yes, there has been. So Samantha Murphy, a 51-year-old mother of two, she disappeared on a morning jog on February the 4th. She departed from her Ballarat East home, near where I used to live when I lived and worked in Ballarat, to the Mount Clear bushland, and then didn't arrive for brunch. And now last week, a Victoria police, they arrested a 22-year-old man, Patrick Stevenson, who's the son of a former AFL footballer, Oren Stevenson. His family is also well known in the Ballarat community, so that has sent further shockwaves through the Ballarat community.
I bet, yeah.
And police still haven't found Samantha Murphy's body because where she was jogging, there's a lot of abandoned deep mines because it's Gold Rush Town. And he hasn't given up the location. But police, to arrest him, obviously they have gathered, quietly, diligently gathered a lot of particularly digital evidence, the phone pings from, you'd say, both of their mobile phones, Samantha Murphy's and Patrick Stevenson. And this is obviously one of the best modern detective tools, which means it's much more difficult for criminals to get away with murders and other...
Well, it must have been spur of the moment because, sorry to interrupt, but you would think if it was sort of premeditated to any sort of level...
Well, that's what the police are alleging, that it was a targeted...
Yeah, but he had his phone. He gave himself away. He's an idiot.
Well...
Yeah, I suppose
They're still being very tight-lipped, Victoria Police. They still haven't said a motive, but they've ruled out that it was some sort of accident. But the fact that it's a young man who appears to come from a good family that is respected in the local community, and he had a girlfriend before the day of the alleged murder, of the night he was out partying in the Ballarat town. So it seems living a very normal life.
Gee.
Obviously, they still haven't found Samantha's body. That's the number one priority now. When Patrick Stevenson was brought before the magistrate's court on the Thursday, the magistrate granted an interim suppression order, and it was a she granted it because he was entitled to a fair trial and agreed with the defence that he was at risk of self-harm in his first time in custody, which was absolutely appalling that this suppression order was issued. Victoria is known as the suppression capital, but was lifted the next day because, well, it was absolute farce because his name was already out there. And the mainstream media, they challenged it and it was lifted. And even his defence lawyer, Patrick Stevenson, withdrew the application, I think, basically.
So how's that gone down? What's the reaction to that suppression, name suppression, been like?
Oh, it was, everyone was appalled. And in this digital age, the issuing of suppression orders, I mean, it's obviously they're from a bygone time when there was no digital world. But also, in my opinion, those who are selected on juries, obviously they are inducted and told to just filter everything out.
Yeah.
And we should have an open justice system where we are allowed to see as much of the legal court proceedings as possible, and we should have the right to information from it. Obviously, there are always going to be people who engage in speculation. You have to call out the armchair body language experts who accused Samantha Murphy's husband of doing it. They just post, oh, I can just tell from his body language. I get a bad vibe. I just know. You've probably encountered those type of people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Disgusting, scurrilous remarks. I remember the same sort of remarks was made when Cleo Smith was abducted in Western Australia. People speculated, oh, it must be the mother or stepfather or father. I just get a vibe from them. And we've seen in the past where this sort of speculation and armchair commentary, like that's what led to the conviction of Lindy Chamberlain in the 80s.
Well, there was JonBenet Ramsey too, remember? And the kid that was abducted from the house, and the parents were under suspicion. And there were terrible things said about them for years. So maybe that's some kind of morbid human nature effect. Do you think that the name suppression had anything to do with his father being a prominent sports personality or identity?
I'm not sure. I know that there are a number of, as I was mentioning before, the feminist activists. Obviously, he's their, well, you'd say their dream suspect, because White has a footballing father and went to private schools. And so White, privileged boy, turns into an alleged monster. They always condemn the media for talking about his, well, looks like his normal life. But this is the thing about alleged murderers and other convicted murderers, is that they don't jump out. They're not, they don't look like, say, the
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, the creepy person with the disgusting long hair and teeth wearing a black coat. They're able to blend in. That's why they get away with it. They're often very manipulative, very cool in terms of smooth in the way that they sweet talk people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty heavy duty. Now, what about the poor Indian woman who ended up in the, is it one of those wheelie bins?
Yes, so she was from Point Cook, which is in Melbourne's west. That's where a lot of Indians have settled here in Melbourne. So her name is Chatahanya. Her nickname is Sweta. You know, the translation would be Sweeter. Madagana. And so her husband, Ashtok Raj Varakappayala, he has fled the country, traveled to India with their son, and disappeared after dumping the son with Chatayana's mother. Obviously, he is the prime suspect, and it's horrific because she was beloved by locals. And it's worth pointing out that India has a domestic violence crisis, and it is sadly common in the Indian diaspora in the West. And certainly India is a country which I would say needs feminist activism. I mean, that's also India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, where the acid attacks against women are common as well. But obviously I have to stress that the husband is only a suspect at this stage.
Yeah, it sounds like they're, okay, suspect, but okay. If he did it, the shamelessness of confronting or even having anything to do with the mother of the person you've just murdered, casually dropping the son off, and what, he disappears into the 1.2 billion population somewhere and dissolves
1.4
away.
1.4 billion now.
1.4, okay. Wow. All right, so there's that. This sounds, I don't want to trudge everybody out this morning, but the what's the story of the police who shot a woman who was attacking her mother? What happened there?
So this was in Victoria. Police were called to a property in Plenty, which is in Melbourne's east. They found a 26-year-old woman stabbing her 52-year-old mother in the torso. And so the police officer was left with no choice but to shoot the daughter dead. And sadly, the mother died as well. So
they both died. Oh, man.
Yes. And according to police, the daughter had been on bail for a matter unrelated to her mother, and there was nothing preventing her from being at the property. And we've also had over in Western Australia an elderly man, 81-year-old Colin Norton. He was allegedly stabbed to death by a 19-year-old man whose name is Pascu Zawadi Noyonyoshi. So that he's
good of
African appearance. He is apparently no one to the couple's foster son. Wife, Margaret, 75, survived.
Oh, dear, that's a shocker. And what's the deal? I've been to Broome before, in the middle of the night, actually, in 1997, and it was 31 degrees at 3 in the morning. I remember that. But anyway, there's an air conditioning guy there. What's he been doing?
So Broome in North Western Australia. It's another town which is plagued by Aboriginal youth crime, like Alice Springs. We had rapper and ex-criminal Spanian visit Alice Springs during the middle of the night. His videos got over a million views there. And there's also been another tragedy in Alice Springs with a passenger in a car dying and the other passengers fleeing. So again, sorry about all this tragedy. So air conditioning installer Matte Radlick, he has been charged with three counts of aggravated assault after a video was uploaded showing that he had cable tied three Aboriginal kids who were crying for their mother. They had trespassed on his parents' property, jumping in the pool. And now there was a confrontation until police arrived. He called the police and he said it the sixth time that his parents' property had been broken into. And these pool invasions, it's been reported, quite common. The video itself is very disturbing, distressing. It's now been reported that Matte Radlick regrets his action. The consensus is that he lost the moral high ground when he cable-tied the three children. They're all under 10, so they can't be criminally charged for trespassing. But other locals have said that we are in the midst of a youth crime crisis of our own, and we also have to keep in mind that we don't live there, so we don't know what it's like, but obviously things are not well in that town. The son, Luca, has come forward and said his father, the family is not racist. It's about crime, not race.
All right. Okay. So I think we'll leave the crime there. Before we get on to sport, International Women's Day was last Friday. Anything special happened in Australia to mark that?
What's notable is that the TERFs, the obviously trans exclusionary radical feminists, which was originally used as a slur, but it's been embraced. So they've tried to reclaim the day. So it always evolves every year. And of course, the Albanese government promoted that they have gender equity in their cabinet. And
what's that got to do with women? Because he doesn't just mean men and women, does he? He means every conceivable.
Oh, to be fair,
on the continuum, doesn't he?
Know the definition of a woman: adult, human, female.
Oh, he said that?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. Yeah. Well, there we go.
We've here in Melbourne, we've just come out of our Labor Day long weekend heat wave, and because we're technically in autumn, it's been mid-30s over the long weekend, so it's been hotter, but we had the city of Melbourne, in my opinion, deciding to be dramatic, cancel the Moomba Parade for the first time in its 70 years.
They cancelled it, so you can guarantee in that time there have been Moomba Parades ready to go in probably the early 40s degrees.
Yes, although we're told that this is the hottest March weekend in 70 years. So it seems that I would say the city of Melbourne is trying to, being dramatic, to further the climate crisis narrative. And then you have our country fire authority and our Bureau of Meteorology putting out that a severe heat wave and also extreme fire danger, and they eventually succeeded in getting this music festival cancelled, the Pitch Music and Art Festival near Ararat, which there was a bushfire a couple of weeks ago on a hot day. The authorities were telling young people not to go there, but the organisers were saying, no, it's not cancelled, we're proceeding as normal. Though the thing was about the location, there was bad mobile phone reception. But again, the determination to cancel it, and it was the rest of the festival was called off on the Sunday, again, to pump up the heat, because there wasn't any bushfires that ended up happening. And
so I hear where this is going. So you create a weather warning And then you use that to leverage, and you'll get a few, you know, the Bureau of Meteorology. I mean, we've got weather and climate outfit here called NIWA in New Zealand government, and they've been putting out very selective figures to create that impression. And someone's dug back into the record and found that, you know, it's BS, could be happening here as well. But they create that, they report it, people hear that, sounds official, then they come back, put it up a gear, oh, we're going to have to cancel now. And that just locks in, oh, it must be bad. It must be bad.
Yeah, it looks to me that this is the soft beginning of climate lockdowns. And so when we get inevitably hot days in the future, which could be 40 degrees because, well, that's been common in Australia and Melbourne for decades.
Yeah, I did 43 degrees in Melbourne.
They're going to
Melbourne
use
once.
This as a justification to mass cancel events, and then they'll tell people not to drive into these areas. The state of disaster that was used by Dan Andrews during the COVID lockdowns, that legislation was passed in response to the Black Saturday bushfires of 2009, which gives the authorities the power to seize properties. I believe that this is what they're going to do going forward. They're going to have like mass cancellation and restrictions if it's a hot.
Who would put on an event if it could be cancelled like that at the last minute? That music festival, as an example.
Well, they made it out like these music festival revelers, like they were in danger of some sort of Hamas attack. That's what sort of made it sound like it. But instead of Hamas parachuters, it was going to be these fires that were going to engulf
them. Burn them alive.
The danger at these music festivals is the young people who take drugs dying of a drug overdose. And we have seen a death of a 23-year-old. Like, that is the worst conditions to take recreational drugs when it's hot.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should limit their fear-mongering to drug takers at festivals. Well,
that's something that they're never going to stop at music festivals. Like, I don't understand the attraction of going to a music festival. It's the last thing I'd do. But that makes me think or understand that maybe the only way to enjoy such a festival is to take drugs. Not that I'm advocating for it, but
could be. I've been to a few in my younger days, and it kind of helps. All right, to avoid being snookered up too much against the time, let's look at sports. You've already made your point on the cricket. There seems to have been quite a bit of activity here in the sort of PC woke area of sport, let's say. Where do you want to start with this?
So our A-League soccer season is ongoing, and also the national teams, the Socceroos and Matildas. We've had the Matildas qualify for the Paris Olympics, though they've been without their captain, Sam Kerr, who's got an injury.
Oh, injury.
So, she is a women's soccer's most recognizable face, was on the FIFA 23 cover. He is the highest paid women's soccer player, plays for Chelsea Women's in the UK. It was reported earlier this week when she faced court in London, she had been charged with a racially aggravated harassment of a police officer during a dispute over a taxi fare in London back in January 2023. So quite a while ago, she allegedly vomited in the taxi. She was out celebrating her hat trick against Liverpool earlier that day.
She shunted in the cab, to put it in Australian language.
Yes, and didn't want to pay the vomit surcharge for.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
I'm not. We don't know what was said in that.
No, I know. I'm just
clearly very intoxicated. Imagine if this was a male sports star who was drunk and vomited in a cab. Like, let's.
Yeah, that'd be big news. There'd be pictures.
It wouldn't be just not reported on for a year until it was before a court.
Yeah, and then they have him going into the court, coming out of the court. And trying to placate it all, you're crazy. Yeah, I can just imagine that.
Now, Sam Kerr, she is of Anglo-Indian ancestry. She has visible brown.
Does that mean the old man or the mum's a Pom and vice versa on the Indian? Is that what that means?
So it's comes from a mixed Anglo-Indian ancestry.
You know, I get that.
Her father, so it's from her father's side. Her father was an AFL footballer, as was
sporty family.
Older brother, Daniel Kerr, who was one of the West Coast Eagles back in the day.
All right, so that's an interesting one.
So obviously speculation ran wild about the race of the police officer, and it was that she'd allegedly racially abused. Obviously, it wouldn't be an Indian police officer, given that's who she is. So people assumed it was either a Black, Asian, or Arab police officer, and it was talked about that she could lose sponsorship, that her career could be in jeopardy, and she didn't tell Chelsea or Australian football officials that she was facing this charge.
There goes the no surprises policy.
When news broke that it was a white police officer she allegedly abused, calling him a stupid white bastard.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yes, because they...
No worries, mate.
White people, it's impossible to be racist against...
I'm so relieved for
white
it.
..people, because we still have the privilege...
Widen.
So I don't think the white farmers in South Africa, I don't think that their white privilege is doing them any favours. I mean, that is where anti-white racism can lead to. And in these... towns in Australia with high Aboriginal populations, there's a lot of racism, often violent racism against white people. But yes, a lot of these lefties on Twitter are now calling her a legend for...
Might have been a good career move, ultimately.
And Chris Minns, the New South Wales Premier, and WA Premier Roger Cook said that they wouldn't feel it was a racist slur if they were called a stupid white bastard. It's highly unlikely that Sam Kerr is an anti-white racist and that she's engaged to a white woman, Christy Muse. Though I'm not sure how she feels, because sometimes people...
Yeah, but white women, don't, again, a different category.
Because people often blurt out when they're drunk what their true thoughts are. She could harbour some anti-white sentiment. And now in the NRL season launch, we've got the NRL and AFL season starting. The NRL season launch was in Las Vegas, because apparently they want to expand into America, which I think is delusional. But yes, the opener was overshadowed because there was a Sydney Roosters player by the name of Spencer Lenu, who's actually a New Zealander, but he plays for Samoa. He's facing a lengthy suspension from the NRL for calling a Brisbane Bronco Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander player, Ezra Mam, a monkey.
A monkey?
Yes, it seems that evolution is racist now. And it's one man of colour abusing another man of colour, but I guess because they're different races. Now, he denies that. He's admitted that he called him a monkey, but it wasn't racially motivated. There was that 14-year-old white girl.
He said it with love.
There was a 14-year-old white girl, a Collingwood fan, 10 years ago, who was accused, who Adam Good said was the face of Australian racism for calling him an ape.
Oh, I remember that.
And she said that it was because he was hairy. So this is why I say that evolution is racist now, because we supposedly evolved from monkeys, but...
Well, it is quite a degrading thing to say, because what you're intimating is that you're less evolved than the human, you know?
Well,
it's a bit of a heavy one.
Generally a racial slur. It could just be that they consider like...
Well, it's even more than that, isn't it? It's a cross-species genetic slur.
Yeah, so they could just be saying, oh, you appear to be so
hairy,
low IQ that you're not as evolved.
All right. Okay, well, going to talk his way out of that one. And there's a couple before we're up against time, a couple of other... things too.
Yeah, so the Soccer A-League had its Pride round, but there was controversy with Adelaide United teenager, Musa Touré, who's a Muslim who was born in Liberia. He said he's hugely sorry for a social media post saying that as a Muslim, he did not support the A-League Pride Round. He said, for the Muslim brothers and sisters, I'm an Adelaide United player, but also Muslim before anything. Though he did say that he didn't have no problem with LGBTQ people. It's their life. And
he won't throw them off the roof of any place or anything like that.
Yeah, one of his teammates, Josh Cavallo, gained notoriety for being the first openly gay male soccer player. They both didn't play in the Pride game. Against Melbourne Victory. So he has now apologised. The club has said, we'll continue educating players and staff about the significance of respecting diversity and promoting.
How do you do that education? I'd love to be in on the course. What is it? You'll do this, otherwise we're going to fire your ass.
Yeah, and so he's now apologised. He said that having spoken to my teammates and my club, I understand my comments were hurtful and insensitive for this, and I'm hugely sorry. And he said, I will continue to grow and learn and look forward to this weekend matches. And his agents have said that he was also apologised to Cavallo. And one of the A-League women's players, she recently came out as non-binary, but she's still playing in the women's league. And over in the AFL, the North Melbourne coach Alistair Clarkson has got a 2-week suspension, which is suspended for 2 years, a $20,000 fine.
Well, what for
calling at quarter time the St Kilda player Jimmy Webster, who just knocked out his captain Ty Simpkin with a concussion, third concussion, which it's a big issue at the moment, concussion. So he got 7 weeks suspension, Jimmy Webster, for that. It was an appalling. But it seems that what Clarkson said to him, calling him a cocksucker, was worse. It was called a homophobic slur. And so he's got a $20,000 fine and required to attend appropriate Pride in Sport training as approved by the AFL. So we've got a sports player and a sports coach having to go to re-education camp this week.
I wonder if he has to write, 1,000 times, I will not say the word peep sucker.
Yes,
it's like something out of The Simpsons,
used over the decades, and it's just been used.
I don't think it is fundamentally a homophobic slur. It might have started out that way. Who knows the origin? I don't know. But it's been around for a long time, that combination of words. And the descriptive way it's used, I don't think it's actually homophobic at its core, though I could see how people could make it that way. That's kind of what I want to say about that. Is that what you think?
Well, it's not like he called him a cock-sucking faggot like Alec Baldwin once did to a male reporter.
Okay, well, that kind of directionally nails it in a bit more. So yeah, no, at least he didn't do that. Gee. Okay, never a dull moment. Quickly, just a few seconds, any election news to catch up on?
Well, I've got the Tasmanian state election fast approaching March 23. That's also sports related, with the Tasmanian AFL team stadium likely to be cancelled in a hung parliament. We've also got the Cook by-elections vacated by Scott Morrison. That's going to be on April the 13th. That's a safe Liberal seat. They selected an outsider, Simon Kennedy, who ran for the seat of Bennelong, though he is quite libertarian. He campaigned against the vax mandates and spoke at a community gathering against the COVID vaccine mandates. So, he might be a bit better than ScoMo.
Let's see what happens. Okay, good to catch up again. Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net Melbourne reporting in on Aussie stuff. We'll talk again next Tuesday, Tim.
Hopefully the news is not as grim as it has been.
No, people are reeling after that. They're reeling. I can just feel it. But, it is what it is. That's what's happened. And that's the whole point of having you on to tell us what's been happening. Okay, thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Paul.
RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.